Your chair this morning is the head of the Connecticut Citizens Defense League, Scott Wilson. Scott, as always, a pleasure. Good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
A lot to talk about, Scott. Let's begin because there are four firearms-related bills going before the Judiciary Committee for a hearing on Friday. So let's begin there.
Sure. And if anybody would like some information, some good information, valuable information on how to contact their legislators, how to contact the Judiciary Committee and send them some testimony. If you can make it to the hearing, that's great. But if you can't, you can always share your thoughts with them about how you feel with regards to the current legislation that's before them this Friday. So if you go to our website, ccdl.us, right on the homepage, there's links. There's also some sample testimonies available for people to get some ideas if they want to write their own testimony on you know, how to word what they want to word with some bullet points and so forth.
What about the one that says, and I'm quoting now, HB 5538, an act concerning non-expiring ammunition permit? What is that about?
Well, that's and we really took no position on it as an organization, simply for the, although it's well-intended, simply for the fact we don't believe people should need permits to purchase ammunition in the state of Connecticut. We're still, you know, we're still not happy that was part of the legislation that passed in 2013. But it is good, in essence, for people who don't want a carry permit, who don't, particularly people that don't have handguns. If they're a target shooter or a trap shooter, they shoot rifles, and they don't want to have to go through the hassle of renewing every 5 years in order to be able to carry a firearm, a gun outside the home. They can get one of these, and then they can, you know, essentially not worry about going to, you know, Walmart or wherever, whoever sells the ammunition and getting that ammunition to be able to go shoot trap or skeet or hunting or whatever their, you know, whatever their hobby is.
Will they give you a pass, though, after you do this, while I already got this this so-called law?
I'm not sure what you mean by a pass, Brad.
Well, permission. Let's put it that way. Let's change the word. Permission to use this because you don't get it now. Is that correct?
Well, you'd have to apply for the certificate, and then once you've got the lifetime certificate, you'd be covered for life. So you wouldn't, unless, of course, you do something that prohibits you from possessing a firearm at some point in the future, then I'm sure they would revoke your certificate at that point. So they're not going to just give somebody a pass, uphand. You know, this is the state of Connecticut. They're going to want their fees, and they're going to want their, you know, their monies to collect on, even especially seeing how it's going to be a pass for a lifetime after that. They're going to want to make sure they get it while they can.
Scott, we'll get to the bump stocks and the ghost guns in just a moment, but I know there's another bill, HB 5539, an act concerning firearms in state parks. And I know that CCDL supports this. Talk about that.
Sure. You know, again, we live in a society where the police can't be everywhere, and there's a lot of people who are background checked and permitted, and they've been through training courses to be able to obtain a firearms permit to carry. And, you know, it's kind of frustrating, probably, especially seeing how these permits are issued by the state of Connecticut, yet the state of Connecticut is banning them, those individuals, from being able to carry a gun in the state parks that people paid the fees for the pistol permits, are in some cases paying fees to go to the parks themselves. So why would, you know, why is it assumed that, you know, somebody's, you know, going to be just safe in a state park because the state of Connecticut bans the firearms from being there? Again, the backwards logic that leads to gun-free zone is essentially a large gun-free zone, and it's the same thinking and mindset all over again, that there's supposed to be some presumption of safety because the state of Connecticut says so.
What are the chances this will pass out of committee?
I don't really know right now. We haven't done a vote count yet, so seeing how our main focus is on, you know, with the ghost gun ban, which also affects pistol permits, and then also the bump stock ban, which is really little to do about bump stocks, but, you know, can affect people in other egregious ways.
But let me ask you, can you think about how the ways are that people would think about guns? For example, in the park, can you think about why people would think about carrying a gun in a state park?
Well, I think people want to be able to protect themselves if they go to a state park. It's, you know, you go about, if you're somebody that carries a handgun on a regular basis, which I'm one, and there are plenty more. There's over 250,000 pistol permits in the state of Connecticut. And, you know, you decide you want to go to the park, but you're coming from work, for instance, or you're coming from, you know, running errands, and you're meeting some friends at the park. Now you've got to go home. Now you've got to lock up your gun, and your home could be 30 miles in the other direction. But if you want to follow the laws and not get into any trouble and not have to stand before a judge, you have to jump through probably a number of hoops to secure your firearm and not break the law. So really, you know, I'm sure crimes have been committed in state parks and state forests and lots of other places, you know, and we just we don't know where a criminal is going to strike, but we do know that if somebody of the criminal mindset knows that guns are prohibited from state parks, that's probably a pretty good place to commit a crime.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Scott Wilson, President, Connecticut Citizens Defense League, on Brad and Dan. Four firearms-related bills go to a public hearing before the Judiciary Committee on Friday, starting at 10 o'clock, Room 2C of the LOB, located at 300 Capitol Avenue in Hartford. Scott, let's get to, first of all, HB 5542, an act concerning bump stocks and other means of enhancing the rate of fire of a firearm. This is among the bills pushed by Governor Malloy. Talk about this.
Sure. Actually, Governor Malloy does have another bill that he's been trying to push through that I believe is dead now. He tried to push that through public safety, and they refused to take it up. But again, we still have this 5542 bill, which, you know, it says bump stocks in the title, but it also has the words other means of enhancing the rate of fire of a firearm, which, you know, these could be springs, these could be gears, these could be normal trigger function type devices. They could be the feed ramp, which is the ramp that feeds a round of ammunition inside the chamber from a magazine, say. And people oftentimes, they smooth those out, and they want their firearms to operate smoothly. A lot of competition shooters lighten the trigger pull, not so necessarily so that the gun can shoot faster, although that is a side effect of that, but it also shoots smoother, so that way when they pull the trigger, the target stays in better alignment with the intent of the round being fired. So really, you've got people trying to be accurate and safe with their guns, and you know, I think that, you know, Governor Malloy and the Judiciary Committee, particularly William Tong, if they really wanted to ban bump stocks, they could have just said to ban bump stocks, but they didn't do that. They included a lot of other things that are part of the normal operating system. The language is vague enough to where it could mean sending your gun to a gunsmith could mean you're violating the law now.
Wow. Mr. Wilson, another thing, too. Could you understand why there are so many people today that weren't the other day? Yesterday's of... It just wasn't happening, but why are so many people now so concerned, especially young people, with guns?
I think some people are concerned on both sides. I think people are concerned for their rights. I've had contact with younger people that I've got one young lady who is in southeastern Connecticut who is working on putting together an educational program so that way she can introduce society to the notion of, you know, what the Second Amendment is, what it's all about, the history of it, how guns operate, crime statistics, and defensive uses of firearms. So she's working on something that's really good right now, and I can't wait to see her proposal so that we as an organization can hopefully get working on it and allow the next generation to take part in protecting and defending their Second Amendment rights the way you know, I've been doing and certainly a lot of others have been doing are from our executive committee on down to our members. And, you know, they're concerned because, really, you've got killers going into gun-free zones, schools primarily, and, you know, and shooting people. And thankfully, you know, the other day we had an incident with somebody that was actually armed, a resource officer, was able to immediately engage the shooter and put an end to everything right then and there. And that's a good thing. You know, as I've said on your show in the past, a gun, some gun, any gun, in the hands of the right person, whoever that right person is could be a good thing in a time when it's desperately needed to protect and save lives.
Okay, Scott, hang in there. I know we have a traffic update, and then we'll return with Scott Wilson, Brad, on this Wednesday morning.
Okay, it is a quarter of the hour, a quarter of eight, and let's check that traffic right now.
The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
Rush hour traffic looks a little lighter than usual, perhaps people opting to work from home if they can ahead of the storm. We're not seeing any delays heading into Hartford on 8491 or Route 2. Same deal in Waterbury, looking very good through the Mixmaster on 84 and Route 8. And no issues yet in New Haven on 95, 91 or the Parkway. I'm Gary Lee Horn.
And it's 14 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning, and we are talking about guns this morning, and I'm just wondering if Connecticut is going to change anything that they've already changed, which is not
much. It seems to me, Scott, that Connecticut already has, it's quite obvious, some of the toughest gun regulations in the nation, but it's never enough for some people in the state.
No, it's and there's an overzealousness there, and there's an expectation, you know, by these people that they somehow should be leading the country, you know, and use Connecticut as an example of their gun control measures, so that way the rest of the country will sit up and take notice, and you know, it keeps their name out there, it keeps the election coffers from the people that are like-minded like themselves to have that money coming in. It's a platform for their reelection. It's, you know, it's all kinds of things. It may be in some cases, you know, higher profile for election to higher office. You know, we have some of the toughest gun laws, I think, you know, once you have these tough gun laws, you have a base of supporters behind you, and I think they're always expecting the next thing, and I think that really they're probably afraid to lose some of that momentum and slow down, because some of these people probably would like to get back to their lives and drift away, but they're always put in this hyper state of vigilance. And now it's bump stocks and ghost guns, and really ghost guns are just hunks of metal that can be turned into a firearm with some level of skill. They're legal at the federal level. It's recommended by the federal government that people register the guns and put some sort of serial number on them once they're, you know, built. But in this piece of legislation that has to do with ghost guns, it also has to do with more intrusiveness into the pistol permit process. And now they want to have the ability to interview people and members of your family at will. Instead of looking at your history, whether you're in some kind of NICS database, whether you know, you have a clean background check and you don't have any mental health issues on file anywhere, issuing the permit, getting the fingerprints, issuing the permit, they just simply want to open up the statutes on permits now and create some more intrusiveness for people.
Okay, so let's, because we're coming up on another break, but when we come back, we'll wrap up our interview with Scott. But ghost guns, then, what would this bill do?
Well, it'll make it very hard for people that are hobbyists and enthusiasts to make guns from hunks of metal. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they're considered 80% lowers. There's not a lot of people that make these guns. There's no epidemic of these guns.
In Connecticut, or even across the country, I would guess.
No, right. There's no epidemic of these guns. They're kits that are sold. They're not finished firearms, and people do take them and manufacture them into firearms. But it's got to be noted that if somebody does get their hands on one of these kits and they manufacture a firearm, It's perfectly legal to do so unless, of course, you are a criminal. If you have disqualifying, prohibitive attachments to your record that state that you can't own a firearm or possess a firearm.
Okay, hold that, Scott. Hold that point right there. We're coming up on a break.
Hold that.
But then
hold
we'll
that,
to Scott.
Scott. We'll be with you.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. The European Union's top trade official arrived in Washington with a big task. Convinced the Trump administration that, contrary to White House claims, the bloc's economic relationship with the U.S. is fair. In 2 days of meetings, EU Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström will press counterparts, including Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, to exempt the bloc from President Trump's steel and aluminum tariffs, which are set to take effect Friday. Department store operator Nordstrom has ended buyout talks with family members of the company's founder, saying it couldn't get the group to raise its price. Nordstrom had rejected an offer of $50 a share earlier this month from the family group, which includes high-level company executives, and called the price inadequate. The family members include co-presidents Blake, Peter, and Eric Nordstrom. Together, they have a stake of about 30% in the company. Crude oil, sharply higher, trading at $64.18 a barrel on Wall Street. Futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
And my friends, 7:51, 9 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, when I talk about the Cowen Tax Advisory Group, I know that I'm giving you information that will be just, you'll be so thankful for, because they really do the right thing. If you need someone to understand your situation, why not talk with the trusted tax and retirement planning specialists at Cowen, the Cowen Tax Group? And you know something? It won't cost you anything. No cost consultations. And when they get done, you're going to say to yourself, well, why didn't I do this before? I'm telling you. And all you have to do for an appointment is to call 860-676-1100, 860-676-1100, or visit thecowantaxgroup.com. Investment advisory services offered through LGL Financial, LLC. That's it.
We're here with Brian Zullo, Vice President of Sales for Full Power Radio, and you have an announcement, and it's really exciting.
We're expanding. And what that means is we're bringing more jobs to Connecticut.
If you want to work for Full Power Radio, send all of your materials to sales at fullpowerradio.com. You can call us at 860-657-1041. This company is not like other companies.
I think we're very unique. We're a fun company. We pay out probably the best commissions in the state. We're looking for someone that's self-motivated. They have a great personality. They don't mind working hard, because in this job, the harder work, the more money you make, which is not the way it is in corporate America. We are not corporate. We are locally owned, locally operated.
So if you'd love to join the Full Power Radio family, sales at fullpowerradio.com. That's sales at fullpowerradio.com. 860-657-1041. Work hard, make money, and have fun. Full Power Radio.
What's better than that?
Sales at fullpowerradio.com. Do it now.
The Brad and Dan Show. The Talk of Connecticut.
And right now, 7:53 in the morning, and a very special guest on guns
well,
today.
A couple of more questions with the president of the Connecticut Citizens Defense League, Scott Wilson. So, Scott, this bill, what would it do again as far as ghost guns are concerned?
Well, I mean, the ghost gun bill is going to essentially, our biggest concern, of course, is opening up the pistol permit application process and allow more intrusion into the lives of people that very simply want to be able to exercise their constitutional rights to own a firearm. If somebody's not prohibited, if somebody is, you know, really very simply just trying to exercise their rights, the police would be able to go above and beyond and start interviewing members of the family, including ex-spouses or spouses that are, you know, split up or going through a divorce, or maybe they're just anti-gun and they don't want their significant other to own a firearm of some type. So, you know, we're looking at the fact that we've had a system in place for many, many years for people to be able to you know, be able to buy and get a handgun and going through legal background checks. But, you know, and some could argue it's already more intrusive than it should be, but it is what it is. So why make it more intrusive now, and why create more of a hassle for people that really just, again, you know, I can't stress, these are our constitutional rights, and I think people should be afforded the opportunity to do that.
And Scott, before we let you go, again, the public hearing is on Friday at the LOB. Any message you'd like to deliver in regard to that?
Yes. You know, while we're talking, I can't stress it enough, and thanks for giving me this opportunity. It's not just about bump stocks. It's not just about ghost guns, because if it were so, they would leave the other language out of the bills and put ghost guns and bump stocks and leave everything alone. So come to our website, ccdl.us. If you have any questions, there are people, Ray Beavis, our legislative coordinator, is available to help answer questions. His email is in our contacts list on our website. So visit ccdl.us, and please, if you believe in the Second Amendment and want to protect your rights, contact your legislators, contact the Judiciary Committee, and we'll show you how to do it.
Hey, Scott, do you expect a good turnout? I would think you would get one on this particular at this particular time.
You know, that's funny that you should say that, because there is some drawbacks on both sides, one of which is, you know, it's always during the workday, but there's a big Friends of the NRA dinner at the AquaTurf that evening that a lot of people, I'm sure, even if they do show up to the hearings, have paid good money for seats, and they're going to want to go to that dinner. The other side, I know, has some anti-gun events that they're doing over the course of the weekend. So, you know, it's kind of hard. You know, you have the law of diminishing returns, where if you have too many events going on, people from either side can get a little bit discouraged. But, you know, we are emphatically stressing to people that support their rights to please show up and get involved and be a part of having a say of what goes on. I know it gets tiring. We see gun bills year after year after year, but we have had victories. We have defeated gun control legislation in the past, just last year, in fact. So, you know, it's all about showing up and being ready for this very important fight.
Okay, Scott,
thank you.
Very good.
Thank you so much
for spending time with us, and we'll talk again real soon. Good luck on Friday.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Take care. You bet. Going to be interesting, Dan.